Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back, everyone, to the X-Cast. The truth is in here. I am your host today, Carl Sweeney, still deputising for Tony Black, and this is day two of our coverage of season 11, episode 6, which is Kitten, and returning today is Sarah Blair. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Carl.
Good to talk to you again, Sarah. And today we're focusing really on the dynamic duo, Mulder and Scully, everyone's favourite FBI agents, and I mean, I wondered whether they'd be in this episode much at all. I didn't know how much of a Skinner story it was going to be. And obviously, the answer, as it turned out, was quite a bit, wasn't it? So we should be able to find quite a lot to say about them, I think.
Yeah. I was fully expecting them to be... Everything about this episode was pretty much what I expected. I figured they would... Mulder and Scully would be in it a lot. And that's kind of... I mean, it worked great, but I wanted more Skinner, obviously. I mean, like, that's a surprise.
Yeah, well, you'll have to wait for more Skinner for another day, I think. But this obviously kicked off with the return of none other than Deputy Director Alvin Kirsch, didn't it? Because straight after the opening title sequence, we're in Kirsch's office. This is the first time we've seen him since the final episode of Season 9, The Truth, and one of the complaints I've picked up on from some fans is that at the end of The Truth, or it's kind of like midway through, but Kirsch helps Mulder escape from the prison there, so he's kind of an ally by the end of the series, and here he seems kind of reset, doesn't he, to the kind of grouchy, kind of irascible figure he always was. I mean, I have no problem believing that Kirsch has kind of had a bit of a reset, because I don't think his personality had fundamentally changed in the past. But what I liked was, I think you can sort of detect like a glimmer of concern for Skinner. Did you pick up on that?
Yeah, I mean...
Just a glimmer.
Just a glimmer. A little bit. Yeah, I felt like he... Kirsch is just grouchy. Like maybe, I don't know, he's just got a stick up his butt or something. Maybe he's had too much kitty litter for dinner or something. I don't know. But yeah, he's just grouchy, and that's his character, and that's okay. But I felt like, you know how Skinner does sometimes where he says one thing, but he means another?
Yeah.
And I got that sense about Kirsch this time around. Like, he's like, now, agents, I'm going to be dressing you down with my words, but what I really mean is go to his apartment and find him and figure out what the heck is going on with Skinner, because we need him back here. Like, you know, so, yeah, I didn't feel like he was the enemy, but I just felt like, you know, he's a grouchy man. He's got a lot to do. He doesn't have time for this business. He doesn't have time for it. He doesn't want... it's been, what, 15, 20 years? He doesn't want Mulder and Scully back in front of his desk. He wants them gone. He's tired of dealing with their issues. So, it's like, Scully and Mulder and Skinner are just nothing but problems for Kirsch that he doesn't want to have to deal with.
Yeah, I just thought it was really nice to see him again, because I really like James Pickens Jr.
And I do too. He's great.
Yeah, and he's aged pretty well, I think, since we last saw him. And so, I mean, what he talks about then is, like, you know, basically tells Mulder and Scully that they're the reason for, like, Skinner's lack of advancement. I mean, I was thinking that, you know, Kirsch has been stuck at the same level for, like, 17 years as well. So, you know, I thought it was a bit harsh. But this has been a key complaint, or it's been something that fans have pointed out a lot over the years. But, you know, how long can one man stay at assistant director level? And I think it works. I think that everyone, you know, we all know that he's got this tangled history with Mulder and Scully. But it was nice to see them address it, whereas in season 10, Skinner was like very peripheral, wasn't he? And you know, they could have done more to kind of like redefine him there, you know. But I liked that little explanation.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, it made sense. So that's kind of all you really need. Like, and that's how, you know, Kirsch sees it, at least.
Yeah.
So one thing this podcast has definitely taught me is that The X-Files is all about perspective. So if Kirsch needs that excuse to tell himself that that's why Skinner hasn't been, you know, advancing, maybe that just makes him feel better and helps him sleep at night.
Yeah, but then what's interesting is that obviously Mulder and Scully go to Skinner's place, and as they do, they're kind of talking about what's gone on recently with Skinner. So I think we started to get into this a little bit at the end of the last podcast, before I rudely cut you off. But so we've got this season, you know, Mulder and Scully still, particularly Mulder, still distrustful of Skinner. It goes back to My Struggle 3, obviously. And it kind of started when Skinner wasn't quick enough to answer the phone when Mulder was looking for, he's trying to figure out what was going on with Scully, first of all, and then he sort of smells cigarette smoke on him at the end of the episode. So it was kind of thin, but obviously Mulder is right. Something has gone on. I mean, it's obviously something they've done a number of times in the past, isn't it? Can we trust Skinner? Do you sort of buy it that they're still kind of in this position?
Yes and no. I mean, Mulder and Scully are like, trust no one. So, yeah, but it's a tired line, I think. I think as a storyline and as character development, it needs to move on past that conflict. They need to resolve that conflict and get a new conflict if they're going to have some kind of conflict. It's kind of old hat at this point. Kind of like a fallback line. Well, you know, we can't really trust Skinner, but yes, you kind of can. He's proven time and time and time and time and time and time again that he's got your butts and he's looking out for you. And, I mean, how many times has Skinner pulled strings and gone around in his unofficial channels to save Mulder from some kind of thing that he's gotten himself into? I mean, if it's not a ship, ghost ship in the middle of the Bermuda Triangle, it's, you know, mushrooms and whatever else.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I think it's definitely preferable to have, you know, Skinner involved this way though than like basically just kind of on the sidelines. So I do like that at least. And anyway, as regards the agents, so they then end up in Mudlick, Kentucky, I think it is. And yeah, we get this little like small town monster type intrigue going on. And you know, for all that we've discussed it so far as like a Skinner centric episode, I thought that the case was pretty engaging too. I mean, it was reminiscent of some old episodes, but I thought it was, you know, I thought it was a very, you know, pretty solid, pretty well done little like procedural investigation as well, you know?
Oh yeah. Yeah. It was good. And I would have liked to see a little bit more of the town and the townsfolk. We just kind of got the sheriff's office and the morgue for a second. We didn't get to really look around the town. Yeah. I would have liked to see a little bit more. You know how like the town was a character in Postmodern Prometheus. I would have liked to see the town be a character in this episode. I think that could have added a lot more to the creepy vibe. Like, I feel like this would have been a really good two-part episode. A really good cliffhanger to have before the break for the Olympics and, you know, come back and find out, like, oh no, what happened to Skinner? Is he alive? You know, that would have been really cool. But with 10 episodes to work with for the whole entire season, you can't really do that. So I think if this episode had had a little bit more room to breathe, it would have been even better. Not that it was bad, but, you know, it could have been even a lot better. Yeah.
Yeah, well, at least what I liked there was they didn't really try and play up the monster element too much. You know, like Mulder immediately says, oh, look, it's just a guy in a mask, you know. I think if they'd have been trying to have us go in with that, that probably really would have had an effect on the pacing. But as it happened, I thought it was, I think if you didn't have those Vietnam flashbacks, you might have had a couple more scenes where you could have explored the town or had another scary scene or two. But that's kind of the price you had to pay for those, I think. And I mean, what I liked about it was, in so many episodes, the local law enforcement are like kind of antagonistic to Mulder and Scully.
Yeah.
What I liked here was it wasn't really like that to begin with, where like the guy is really pretty helpful, isn't he, the sheriff? But then it's because they withhold information from him that he turns on them. So yeah. I quite liked that it kind of developed. It didn't just it wasn't just a one note kind of thing, you know?
Oh yeah, I agree with you on that for sure. And I really liked when Mulder and Scully were sitting there watching the camera footage, and Scully's like, "You're gonna get us kicked out of town." And it was kind of, it was just, I really, one of the things that I'm really enjoying about this whole season, and that was also in this episode, was Mulder and Scully's partnership and getting to see them work together and problem solve together and just really be true partners. And that's been a lot of fun to see this season. I felt like season 10, we didn't really get that much from out of that, because they were kind of not really back in it, but they were, but not. And it was all a little bit foggy. But now in this season, they're definitely clearly back together as partners in every way. So it's great. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, well, no, you're right. In season 10, they were separated a lot, weren't they? And like, I guess there must have been some like logistical reasons. But what we've seen this season is like in episode 2, you know, there was lots of action with the pair of them together. And plus one, you know, I believe it's going to, I hope certainly it's going to continue all the way through to the finale, really.
Oh, yeah, I hope so, too. I really like the tone that the season is taking, and seeing them work so well together and really accomplish things together is really nice.
Yeah, and I like the little occasions they find to like showcase Mulder's intuition, which has always been like a huge part of his like strength as an investigator. But like stuff here where he picks up on the Trigger nickname and eventually links that to Kitten and everything. And you know, he's obviously he's much older now, but he's still very sharp, isn't he, Mulder? And I always like it when they find a way to kind of demonstrate that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I like that most of his conclusions are not the wild leaps of faith that they sometimes can be. Just, I don't like it when, you know, they use his magical intuition to kind of skip through things that really need to be investigated. But In this episode and the rest of the season, I feel like it's been logical, you know, one step to the next, and he's really using his brain, and so is Scully. I mean, she's the one that noticed the deer cam and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's been good seeing them problem solve their way through these investigations together, and actually giving them real cases to go to, you know, is a lot of fun to see again too.
There's been a good blend, I think, of like you say, proper cases and then stuff like this, which doesn't originate as a case exactly, but it is an engaging investigation in its own right. And I don't know, I just feel like the transitions from episode to episode, so far at least, haven't really jarred at all. Whereas on season 10, it was like we were in a completely new show each week, or it seemed a little bit like that anyway. However, they've like arrived at that, like the people behind the scenes, it's working well, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I like that each of the episodes of the season are, they have the threads that pick up and weave through, which is so nice to feel, because there haven't really been a lot of times when that's happened on this show. You've either got the mythologies plus the standalones, and you don't have those through threads all the way. And, you know, like with this episode, you've got them talking about the chemtrails and the all that, which throws back to you know, my struggle in 1 and 2 and a little bit of the mind control, government mind control stuff that you've got from, you know, Forehead Sweat and it was episode 4. So, and then you've got the wider conspiracy that you've got from episode 2, and you know, it's all cohesive for once, and that's really nice to see. And I think Mulder and Scully really are tying that together very nicely too, with their characterization and seeing their natural arc go through, you know, these episodes. It's really nice to see.
Yeah, I agree. And in this episode, I really like the, there's a scene in the car when they're sort of talking about Skinner, and Scully has a nice line where, you know, I think Mulder asks her, do you think it's true? Do you think it is our fault that he hasn't moved on? And Scully says, well, you know, I would hope his supporting us was his choice, really. And she also kind of characterizes him as a man ruled by his moral compass. And I just like that. It kind of, it does sound like apt, doesn't it? You know,
mm-hmm.
And what I also liked was then obviously later on, like towards the climax of the episode is, you know, the stuff where, I mean, Mulder gets knocked into that pit a bit easily, I thought, but hey. And,
who are we to question Mulder's prowess?
And also, I mean, Skinner, I don't know how he managed to extricate himself off that, like, spike, but...
It's Skinner. He's a tough man. It didn't surprise me at all.
But, basically, another example, isn't it, of like Scully to the rescue, which I thought is, it's always good to see that, isn't it? Because she's the one who turns up and shoots Davey.
Yes, it's always good to see her kicking some butt, which she does often, and you know, it's great. And I loved the one of my favorite parts was when. When they're leaving and Mulder's like, he hands her the keys and goes, you drive. She's like, wait, what? What? Me drive? What? And I think when I was live tweeting, I was like, yeah, Scully, I hope your little feet can reach the pedals. That was a cool. I liked how smoothly Mulder got them out of that situation, because a lot of times that would be a good opportunity for something to go wrong or, you know, conflict to happen and shit to hit the fan, really. But yeah, I liked that he played along with the crazy man. And even though he knew something was going on that was really weird, instead of confronting Davey about it, he got them out of town, or like got them out of the situation. And I think that's shown a lot of growth from Mulder. I don't know if Mulder 20 years ago would have done that, or if he would have, you know? I mean, like, season 2 Mulder would have been a little bit more hot-headed about it, I think, and demanded, like, we know you've got Skinner, where is he? Like, you know, but the grown-up Mulder, he's matured a little bit. He knows, you know, he knows that in this situation, he's got to play it cool, and... I mean, he's got to protect Scully. She's there, instead of like putting her in danger by escalating the situation potentially with this person that he suspects, you know, knows something about what's going on with Skinner. He's going to get him out of there first and do things by the book for once. So I thought that showed a lot of maturity from Mulder, that scene.
Yeah, I agree. I think, like, yeah, you're right. I think, he's not quite the same, like, kind of bull in a china shop type figure, like, he would have been in the past, is he? He's not as impetuous. And I'll tell you what, a moment I can't believe we skipped over this, but it's the reference to Mulder's juices earlier in the episode.
Yeah.
I suppose that was the shipper moment of the hour, I guess.
Oh, juices. Yeah. One other thing. I like that the writer, Gabe Rotter, had worked with Mitch Pileggi a lot before this on the show in various, not as a writer, but in different roles on the show. And he remembered that Mitch Pileggi had mentioned that Skinner was constipated all the time. and oh, work right. that joke into the script. So I thought that was pretty funny. Yeah.
That was very funny. And I mean, just finally, I suppose, on Mulder and Scully. I mean, we talked about that scene with Skinner from his perspective, but it was a nice scene from their perspective too, because both of them as actors, they're both very good listeners, I think. So even though Skinner was doing most of the talking, you know, their acting was very impressive too, I felt. Especially, I mean, both of them, but Duchovny was very good. And it ends, doesn't it, with Mulder sort of says, you know, we're with you. And it's kind of like at that moment, I think, where you see Skinner being weighed down by what he knows from the smoking man. But yeah, I mean, it was a great scene for Skinner, obviously, kind of a showcase for him. But it was good from their perspective as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I have to say, if things don't change between them from this point on to the last few episodes of the season, I'm going to be really, really mad. Like, I'm going to be so frustrated and upset if this isn't a turning point for them for the few episodes that we have left. Like, I just, yeah. Something has got to keep moving forward and something's got to change. Like, even if it's just a matter of Mulder and Scully finding out that Skinner knew about who and what William is or might be, or like, we still don't know about that, but I can feel a real sense of betrayal coming out of that from them. But also, I like that Skinner is keeping it from them because of his need to protect them. And he doesn't have all the answers yet either.
Yeah.
So I feel like he's keeping that information close to his chest for now, because he needs to know more about what's going on before he says or does anything or acts on it. But I would like to see something come of that. I don't know what, but I think that's a good character conflict that could potentially arise.
Well, I was sort of hoping that this episode would be the one to kind of bring it to the foreground, really. And obviously that's not the way it turned out, but what I hope, and I've got no idea what's coming up like in the rest of the season, but what I hope is that it doesn't wait until like the last half of the final episode, really, because I'm just concerned there'll be so much else going on. We might, you know, there might be this like apocalyptic scenario, and that story thread might not get the like the time and the attention it deserves. That'd be my fear anyway, really.
I really hope that there's gonna be a good solid resolution between these three characters before the end of the show, whether that comes with some kind of conflict and then resolution, or, you know, I don't want Mulder and Scully to end up being on bad terms with Skinner. But if that does come up, I want it resolved, and I hope that things can end on a good note between those three at least, and they can finally understand and grasp the concept that Skinner's actually been looking out for them this whole time. So, and understand, I hope that this episode can give them more, as well as us, you know, more insight. And I hope that they change their attitude towards him by understanding these things and what he's been through, and that their attitude will change towards him in the last few episodes.
Well, I suppose time will tell on that one, won't it, Sarah? But all we can do is wait. But in the meantime, I mean, we'll be back tomorrow to discuss. Next time we're going to discuss Gabe Rotter, the writer of this episode, and Carol Banker, who directed the episode. In the meantime, listeners, you can find us on Twitter in the usual place, @X_cast. Or you can look up our page on Facebook if you search for XCast. You'll find us, and you can also find our group, which is called X-Files Basement. But until next time, trust no one.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.